and at least 45 migrants and refugees, including 5 children, died in the deadly shipwreck off Libya this year. There were among more than 80 people on board a vessel whose engine exploded off the coast of Zawara, the UNHCR said. The deaths were reported by some 37 survivors rescued by local fishermen. Both the UNHCR and International Organization for Migration have called for search and rescue efforts for migrants to be stepped up. They said that without a dedicated search and rescue operation mechanism, more lives would be lost in the Mediterranean. So the survivors of the shipwreck, were mainly from Senegal, Mali, Chad, Ghana, were detained after they disembarked in Libya. There are reports of migrants being treated appallingly in Libya, especially if they fall into the hands of militiamen and traffickers who abuse them and try to extort money from them. So, sad news indeed. Lots of migrant movement around the world, even as coronavirus runs around. But there is something that I thought was kind of like good news, and that's the New York Times is reporting this. Kim Jong-un's blunt assessment led his country to plan a rare Workers' Party Congress for January to chart a new course after the country was hammered by sanctions, floods, and the pandemic. North Korea's leader, the headline is, North Korea's leader had big economic plans. He admits they failed. So this is pretty wild. Back in 2016, North Korea, freshly minted Kim Jong-un, held the country's first ruling Workers' Party Congress in 3 decades and laid out an ambitious 5-year economic plan to build what he called a great socialist country by 2020. On Thursday, he admitted that the plan had failed. One calamity after another has hit North Korea since 2016, led by the U.S. and the United Nations Security Council, imposed devastating economic sanctions to retaliate against the North for its pursuit of nuclear weapons and long-range ballistic missiles. Then came the global coronavirus pandemic, followed by massive flood damage because of torrential rain. Mr. Kim now plans to chart a new course. North Korea on Thursday announced plans to hold a rare Workers' Party Congress in January to work on a new plan to shore up its economy. Mr. Kim's blunt admission of policy shortcomings during a formal party meeting was an indication of how much the North Korean economy had been hammered by the triple crisis. Plans to improve the national economy has been seriously delayed by severe internal and external situations. So, this is pretty wild. It's pretty neat. The story goes on for quite a while. If you want, go check out the full thing. But this is kind of neat. So that is the world. Welcome, SMJ and Blink. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. So it is 1914. It means we're almost halfway there. Almost halfway to Tobe and his magic guitars, magic musical instruments. It has been very entertaining. Congratulations on 1,800 shows. Quite an adventure. 5 years or so of daily shows. What was I thinking? Oh, that's right. I was thinking about electronics. So anyway, I wanted to play a song real quick. This is called where are you? Here, it's called The Frolic Room. And this is a 311 song.
Side. Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
This is News to Me with DJ Marcus.
Okay, welcome back. So, we've got here is some additional fun news stories to go through. Reason.com, Reason Magazine, had a story that I found particularly disturbing. And that's that San Diego has been ticketing people for seditious language. What is that, you might ask? Seditious language is pretty silly. So basically, San Diego Police Chief Dave Nislett has instructed officers to stop enforcing a century-old law that forbids seditious language as elected officials begin the process of repealing it. Earliest this month, VOSD reported that police since 2013 had issued at least 82 tickets for what's generally understood as speech advocating to overthrow the government. Because the tickets were filed in recent years as infractions rather than misdemeanors, the process is played out administratively, not criminally. On par with speeding tickets, infractions don't entitle defendants to legal counsel or a trial by jury. Lawyers for both the city and the public defender said they were unaware that SDPD was still enforcing that section of the municipal code. I certainly had never heard of this recent practice in San Diego or anywhere else. The ordinance was enacted in 1918, is how Kate Nucci from The Voice of San Diego reported. It's unlawful for any person to utter or use within the hearing of one or more persons any seditious language, words, or epithets, or address to another, or to utter in the presence of another any words or language or expressions of seditious or seditious remarks having a tendency to create a breach of the public peace. So, very interesting times. At the time, sedition was understood to mean the stirring up of disorder in the state tending toward treason, but lacking an overt act. But under modern First Amendment law, such a prohibition is clearly unconstitutional. So, this is very interesting, because it kind of raises the question, what other laws are on the books that are being enforced but not being reported because they're infractions, and they just generate revenue for the city? So, pretty wild. So let's see, can we make it a whole day without talking about COVID-19? I think we can. There's so much news and we only have 10 minutes, so yeah, we definitely can. It's just we're going to talk about other disturbing stories. So Kansas City Democrat, age 19, who admitted to revenge porn, won his primary. Aaron Coleman admitted that he harassed girls online when he was in middle school. He called one sixth grader girl fat and told her she should kill herself. 7 years ago, so I guess when he was 12 or 13, he told another girl who was 13 at the time that he would circulate a naked photo of her if she didn't send him more nude images. When she refused, she said he followed through on his threat. "They're accurate," Mr. Coleman, 19, said of the woman's claims. On Monday, Mr. Coleman, a dishwasher and community college student, was declared the winner of a Democratic primary for a seat in Kansas House of Representatives. Oh, this is state office. The way this was advertised, it seemed like it was national. Defeating the incumbent Stan Fraunfelter by 14 votes. The final count was 823 to 809. what would have been a story about a young upstart taking down a seven-term incumbent during a period of nationwide youth activism has instead alarmed Democratic state leaders, who said they are worried that Mr. Coleman's acknowledgement of his troubled past and other comments he made during the campaign would hurt their party's chances in competitive races. So, pretty wild. Com is bumping and jumping. There are people there talking, so fantastic. I'm glad we're all able to come together. So, let's see. What else do we got here? There's so much news. But we're avoiding COVID-19. We're almost there. We're almost there. We've got 9 minutes to go. So, the Register had a couple of stories that are technical, but they are not COVID-related. First up, the FCC. Remember that the FCC and the Register's snarky. They're a little rude. Remember that confidential paperwork you gave us, China? Yeah, well, we're handing it over to the feds. Chinese telcos plead to not be booted out of America will be passed on to prosecutors. America's comms watchdog will hand over confidential documents on China Telecom to U.S. government officials probing the state-owned communications giant and its operations in the land of the free. Since at least as far back as 2002, China Telecom's American subsidy has been authorized by Uncle Sam to provide international communication services in the U.S. Earlier this year, though, amid escalating trade and diplomatic tensions between America and China, the executive branch of the government turned the screws on China Telecom. Department of Justice, Homeland Security, Defense, State, and Commerce urged the Federal Communications Commission in April to revoke China Telecom's permission to operate on the grounds of national security. They cited concerns that China Telecom is vulnerable to exploitation, influence, and control by the Chinese government, complaint of inaccurate statements by China Telecom to U.S. government authorities about where China Telecom stored its U.S. records, raising questions about who has access to those records, and argued Beijing spies could use China Telecom's networks to carry out economic espionage and disrupt and misrouting of U.S. communications. Wow. So, pretty heavy stuff, right? China Telecom, which has about a week to file another appeal, which no doubt will be thoroughly fairly considered, did not respond to a request for comment. So, that is how that goes. So, surprise, surprise, the FCC shares data with other government agencies. Who knew? The next one here is that this one was kind of warmed my heart a little because I was dabbling around with some C++ not too long ago, and the Register's reporting, C++ still rules the Chromium roost, though Rust has caught our eye, say browser devs. So Google's Chromium project has acknowledged its growing interest in adding more Rust code to the mostly C++ Chromium codebase. Rust is an open-source, systems-oriented programming language championed by Mozilla that's known for its memory safety, a characteristic of particular interest to developers interested in browser security. The Chromium team makes clear that C++ is the ruler and that its current interest is having Rust code make calls into existing C++ rather than the other way around. But its recognition of Rust as a subordinate language suggests that Google devs want Rust to play a more prominent role in the Chromium core. So such vivid imagery. So anyway, so this is pretty exciting. They go on to explain why you might want to use Rust and what the politics of that are. If you care to read that, go right ahead. I won't stop you. Let's see, can we avoid it? Let's find out. We're running low on stories that aren't here we go. Found one. Massive plastic plant fire since toxic plume of smoke over North Texas. Yeah, that's right. Don't worry. You won't. Just because you can't breathe doesn't mean that it's the disease. It might just be an economic or an environmental disaster. Because who needs the EPA, right? Ha ha ha. All right, so this comes from News 5, Dallas-Fort Worth, an NBC affiliate. A massive fire at a plastic facility in Grand Prairie continues to smolder close to 24 hours after it started. Meanwhile, officials are urging people to stay indoors because of the toxic plume rising from the scene that could be an irritant for people with respiratory issues. At about midnight Wednesday, an overhanging power line fell onto plastic sheeting in a storage area at the Poly America manufacturing plant, starting a fire. According to Bill Murphy, not Murray, which I originally thought it said, assistant chief of operations with the Grand Prairie Fire Department, the material ignited and spread throughout the storage area, an area of about 300 yards wide along the 2000 block of West Marshall Drive near Highway 161. One rail car exploded, supporting towers for electricity lines are expected to collapse under the heat of the flames. At least three of Poly America's freight rail cars had caught fire. So, pretty wild. Lots of smoke. Bad news. Wear your gas mask. This wind is east-northeast in the area. Let's see. Let's take a drink of water. We've got 4, maybe 3 minutes. No tea today. Alrighty. So, you know, let's see.
I want to hear the music. I want to hear the music.
I know, but we got to talk about the news, man.
I want to hear the music.
Hold on. Well, I'll get there. Let's do one more story, okay? So, we've got the massive fire. We've got that. Oh, here we go. This is a good one to end on. Nope, that's a COVID-related story. So much COVID-related story, it's so hard not to cover it. Dude, COVID. COVID. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. Oh, here we go. Here's one that's world news, not too bad. A mass grave, an uncovered grave, a grave was uncovered from people Russia killed during the Russian-led occupation of Slovyansk in 2014. A grave was exhumed in Slovyansk containing the remains of people killed during the months in 2014 when Slovyansk was under the control of former Russian military officer Igor Girkin and his militants. The police reported on 18th of August that the grave had been uncovered as part of a preliminary criminal investigation, and some findings are, for this reason, secret. So, pretty wild, right? Very wild. But, you know, that's okay. Such is life. But you know what isn't such is life? You know, being able to hang out with people like Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee and your girlfriend in Vietnam and the Numbers Lady. R.I.P. I hope she gets better. She's been sounding very sick lately. She's on the fritz. But, you know, that's just how it goes. I'm going to... Here. We're going to say, all right, no worries. We didn't talk about COVID. Now we're going to play a little bit of goodbye music. So goodbye. There it is. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then. Aw, yeah! See you later, X1 Exile Tobe, Blink, SMJ, Jazzmaz. Talking until it clicks over. We got a couple seconds. Just a couple, just a couple.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Begin transmission.